Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. That's where my brothers, we all locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun. So call me Pharaoh now.
Ramesses.
That's just some food for thought. So take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green.
Damn.
Money over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
Damn.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask them.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin.
I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him.
This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses, damn.
I'm tired of all my people. See, that's niggas with no action plan.
And I didn't choose to rap. He just fell into a backup plan.
So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain.
Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain.
Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man.
When they looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man.
And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us.
Cause we made it through that slavery
by Rolexes and Robux.
And you can't hold us down.
We hold the crown for majors before us.
And though you play with money, we still know that you below us.
Now look what you done did. I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up.
Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures.
If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim.
So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms.
Money, military, college.
What up, what up, what up, what up?
All right, all right, all right. What's going on, everybody? Welcome, 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 welcome. This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Tuesday, October the 10th. Tuesday, October the 10th of 2017. And the time is 12 noon, a little after 12 noon Central Time. As always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we've got another thought-provoking, mind-blowing, cookie crumbling, toe curling message for you today, brothers and sisters. We want to reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify wealth. We are demystifying wealth. Now, again, I ain't talking about money. I'm talking about true biblical or spiritual wealth. That means you have the feeling that money gives you. You don't have a bunch of money sitting in the bank account. You want whatever it feels like to be able to pay all your bills ahead of time, to be able to be in perfect health, to be able to know what the big G knows, and to be able to be engaged in toe-curling relationships. Whatever that level of monetary value is, that is your definition of wealth. So my definition of wealth is different from your definition of wealth, as we've been revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying throughout this entire series. Now, today's message is one of the most, if not the most important message in this series. So we've been going through each one of the seven keys to demystifying wealth. And hopefully you've been following along in this series. And it's very, very, very important, my brothers and sisters, that you over and understand the definitions or the words that are coming out of my mouth. Words alter states. Let me say that again. Heavenly Father, in the name that is above every name, touch the mind, touch the wills, touch the emotions, touch the imagination, and touch the intellect of your people. Words alter and change universes. Words alter consciousness. Consciousness is wealth. So I can alter your money, your wealth, based upon the words I speak. So I can alter your mindset, brothers, sisters. I can change your entire world construct by simply sharing a word. One word, one musical note, one image, one picture. You could be happily married and totally in love, and I can send you a picture of your mate in a sexual act with somebody that's not you and totally alter your entire world. Everything that you know would totally crumble or change with one pixel. That's all it takes, one. One picture will transform or destroy your life. All I need is one, just one picture. That's all you need. One picture will take you from being homeless to take you to being Oprah Winfrey type money. One picture, that's all it takes. One thought, one ideal. All it takes is one word to totally alter your genetic code, totally alter your current construct, to totally transform your life. One pixel, one picture, one logogram, one graph, one letter. That's all it takes. And if you don't over and understand the depth of the statements that I am making today, my brothers and sisters, then you will not understand that you have been genetically programmed to see what you see, which is wealth secret number 6. Brothers and sisters, I hope you brought your big boy drawers and your big girl panties today, because you need to strap them on, because we're in for a bumpy ride. Most people think that they have this thing called free will. I like talking to church folks and non-church folks. In fact, all folk, because everybody believe that they can do whatever the hell they want to do. And I immediately, when they say that, I tell them, okay, fly off the planet and come back. If you can do anything you want to do, if you can be anything you want to be, please transfigure yourself right in front of me. Better yet, let's do something easy. Just levitate. We'll keep it simple. Now, I'm not saying that you can't levitate. I'm just saying that you've been programmed to believe that you can't levitate. Let's demystify it, brother. I'm not saying you ain't got no money. I'm just saying that you've been programmed to think you ain't got no money. Come on, somebody. Let me break this down for you, brothers and sisters, because I hope to God that you don't believe a word that I've been saying this entire 7 series, and you want some biological and some biblical and some non-biblical proof, because I got a plethora. I got books, plural, more than one. So it's important, my brothers and sisters, that you understand, because right now you're beating the wind. You're fighting against the wind. In other words, you're trying to do something that you're not genetically programmed to do. I did it for 50 plus years. I got tired. August the 4th, I just gave up. And then, as you guys know, when I started the program I'm doing now for 5,000, I used to do for 500. What changed? I just genetically got in line. That means, according to the church, doing the will of God. Instead of doing your own will, instead of, again, oscillating, vibrating according to your own code, Just go along with what you have been genetically programmed. You're already programmed for success. The problem is you don't want the program. You want to write your own program because we've been told that we could write our own program. That's what Adam and Eve did. But Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, it was Adam and it was Eve, again, according to the English version. Let's go back to the first time that the program was altered to change the wealth. Now, Adam didn't ask God. Let me rephrase that. God did not ask. He did not consult. He did not, ask, consult. What other word that I can use? He did not plead. He did not go off of the suggestions of. It said that he made Adam, and then he said he took him and he put him in the garden, and he told him to tend the garden. Now, I can't find nowhere in Scripture where God. Now, first of all, Adam and Eve walked in the cool of the day. They were made in God's image and in his likeness. Made. And Adam and Eve were wealthy. They were so wealthy. In fact, they didn't do no W-O-R-K. It was after the fall that, again, read the text. After the fall, he said that Adam would be cursed to work from the sweat, and from the sweat of his brow, he would pull what he needed from the ground. After the fall, not before the fall. Let's be crystal clear. And Eve was given something after the fall. She would have pain in childbirth. But again, it was only after the fall, not before. So man's original intent, just like the scripture says, that you were originally, if I can speak, given everything that you need for life and godliness. So in other words, this thing called wealth that you're chasing, you already got. Now, you can't see it. The reason that you can't see it is because, like your forefathers and your forefathers' forefathers' forefathers, in your blood, a code was switched off. In your genes, a code was turned off. This code, you got to turn it on. This is what I do. I turn on codexes and I turn on codons. It's inside of your DNA. Go to Google and type in C-O-N-D-O-N-E, codon. You will see what a codon is, and it's inside of your DNA. And you have this thing that this mitosis that takes place. And again, I got a book called The Biology of Behavior. And in this book, I break down how to biologically change the genetic code that keeps you in quote unquote poverty. Now, poverty is genetically transferred from father to son. Now, the same way you get your eye color, the same way you have inherited characteristics. This is called a genotype. You get that from your mother and your father's genes. So poverty is generational. Now, I have an audio book called, again, Generational Poverty, where I got all of the proof that you need to prove to you that you are genetically. The genes within an organism is called a genome. Your genome is called your genotype, G-E-N-O-T-Y-P-E. Your genotype is what is called a genetic trait. This genetic trait is inherited. In fact, my life is identical to my father's life. So if I want to look, if I don't make a genetic altercation or genetically programmed, which is what I teach inside of my life management, my Clarinamis course, I can go look at my biological father, because everything, it is eerily, I'm talking toe curling, I'm talking like it's like my father just was reincarnated. I look like him. My bones crack at night. I get up, I eat sugar like him. Only thing that I don't do that my father did was drink. Other than that, the times, the years that my father's life changed, the number of jobs, everything that my father has done, I have done, and I am doing everything, because I was genetically programmed because of the genome and the geotype. Now, this genome and geotype is observable inside of the lab. meaning some traits are controlled by genes that are passed from the parent to the child. They are inherited. These traits are inherited. These traits are inherited. These traits are inherited. Now, most of them are physical traits, eye color, height, you know, all of these things. But there are also behavioral traits that are inherited. Now, there was a great book called Behavior Gene Wars. And in this book, there's a whole new science called neuropsychology, which I've spent a lot of time studying. And there's a doctor by the name of Dr. Goldman who breaks this down very succinctly. Now, what I need you to understand, in demystifying wealth, you are programmed to see what you see. What you see is what you used to be. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. Let me say that again. What you see is what you used to be. You just don't remember. I'm here to help you remember. That's why you have cell membranes. On the cover of every cell in your body, there's something called a membrane. It's the memory brain. All of your memories are contained on the outside of the cell, not inside, contrary to popular belief. Now, I know, I understand that you probably was taught something differently. I was too. But I'm here to demystify wealth. I need you to understand that you was born wealthy already. Now, your level of wealth can now, all of this can be changed with the word. Now, remember, in the garden, Adam and Eve had a certain lifestyle. They walked in the cool of the day. They was, they had no clothing. They had no skin, meaning your skin is the biggest organ on the body. Your skin also absorbs stuff and it releases stuff. So that means Adam and Eve, again, could absorb and release. That means Adam and Eve communicated through mental telepathy. They didn't do this thing that I'm doing right now called talking. So Adam and Eve, in the cool of the day, they walked with God. They communicated with God. And then the serpent came. Now, brothers and sisters, this is important. Because the serpent is an S, he's a word, and the S in front of the word creates a sword. Now, notice that Eve was beguiled. Now, again, that is a vibrational. That means that Eve's mental state was altered. That means Eve listened to somebody. That means Eve heard a word. Now, the serpent said to the woman, did not the father say? Notice the serpent did not agree or disagree. He just asked Eve a question. Did the father say that you could or could not eat from the? He implanted something called doubt. Now, I've been saying this for 20 years. I'm going to continue to say it. I don't do doubt. I don't do fear. I don't do none of that shizness. Because that's how that's how Lucifer get in. And that's called switching. That's how he switched your mindset. A switch is a witch. So witchcraft is switchcraft. It's a switching of a mental. It's called altered states. So you're happy. Now, one day Eve was happy. The next day she wasn't. Because a voice. Now, remember, faith cometh by hearing. Why not by touching? How come faith does not come by touching? How come faith does not come by hearing? How come faith does not come by smelling? How come faith does not come by tasting? Why, brother? Why? Can somebody please tell me why the beep does faith come by hearing? Because that was the original fall. Now remember, you was perfect. So the father is just re-engineering what the anti-father did. Now, why does everything come through blood? Can somebody break that down for me, please? Why, according to Leviticus 17:13, somewhere now, he said that the life of the flesh is in the blood. Can somebody please expose and expand to me, why is the life of your flesh in your blood? Because blood was the original fall. In other words, Cain slew Abel and he spilled his blood. So the father takes the same system that the enemy used to destroy. Now the Bible says everything that the devil used to try to destroy you, God is going to use to employ you. Now I know that's contrary to your belief system, but let me make sure you understand the universe. See, the universe is based upon universal law. So, again, there's this thing called karma, a cause and effect. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Whatever you give, that same measure is going to be given back to you. So if Lucifer tries to do something bad, the father used the same methodology to do something good. So the father takes everything the devil meant for evil, and he turns it around and he uses it for good. So the Lucifer tried to destroy God's system through blood and through sound. So the father is building his system through blood and through sound. That's why Jesus Christ was crucified and he shed his blood. So if you don't understand that, then you don't understand why Jesus Christ is the foundation of every argument on the planet. And if you don't understand frequency, wave, or vibration, then you will also miss how powerful words are. And therefore, you'll never have a dime, not no real money. You have fake money. You have worldly money, but you won't be able to sleep with your money. In other words, you're going to have stuff, and stuff is going to control you instead of you controlling your stuff. See, I park my car in the driveway. I don't care if somebody steals it or not. And when I drive down the street, I don't care if I get in an accident with my car. That's why I got it. That's why I got car insurance. But if I was driving around the road in a $200 Lamborghini or $200,000 Lamborghini, do you think I'd be driving the way I drive now? Nope. That Lamborghini would own me because it's $200,000. I don't want nobody to run into. I don't want nobody to scratch it. My kids couldn't. I remember the first time I bought my Cadillac, I was in New Mexico, man. It was crazy. My kids couldn't ride in it. They couldn't touch it. They couldn't even look at it. I remember one time I beat my daughter to the inch of her life because she leaned on my Cadillac. That's when I was young, dumb, and stupid. See, that Cadillac owned me. I didn't own the Cadillac. So wealth is the understanding that there is a genetic code, and you're fighting against that code. You're trying to be something that you're not designed by your creator to be. So to demystify wealth means you got to understand that what you see is what you used to be. Now, being is not doing. People tell me all the time, okay, Doc, let me make sure I understand what you're saying, brother, because you're saying what I see is what I used to be. So I can see pedophiles. So you're telling me I used to be a pedophile. Yeah. Well, brother, I ain't never touched no little boys, man. Who, you know, people get all upset. They, you know, they get their panties in the water. Because I'm saying that's what you used to be. I didn't say that's what you used to do. See, being and doing is night and day, contrary to popular belief. Now, you can be saved, but are you doing saved? I know a lot of Cretans that are being saved. They got a mindset that says that I'm saved, but their hands don't do shiznits that would show me that they are saved. Therefore, I know that they got a counterfeit conversion. They have not demystified what it means to be saved. There's a lot of people that tells me they got mantras. They say all the right words. We do one-on-ones. They say, Brother Will, man, I'm getting ready to climb that mountain, dog. You don't understand. I'm getting ready to blow up, homie. 6 months later, they still, a year, 2 years, 3 years, they still saying the same thing. Because why? They're not being, or they may be being wealthy, but they're not doing wealthy. What does that mean in English, Brother Will? Well, what that means is their DNA inside of them, on an unconscious level, they have a knowingness. Wealth is what you know. It's not what you believe. See, a lot of people believe in God, but they don't know him because they don't have no personal, private experience with him. See, I know God because when I was a little whippersnapper and Sister X used to come by and pick us up on the weekend, and me and my brothers and sisters used to go with Sister X, and I didn't like going because Sister X treated us like trash. We didn't eat. We was forced to fast. We were forced to pray. I just didn't like going with Sister X. So I had a thought in my head, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. I had to understand, because as a kid, I didn't understand certain genetic developments. Now, I did not understand the genetic makeup when I was a child of Sister X, and I did not understand the genetic makeup of my own biological mother. And I surely did not understand the genetic makeup of my biological father. Now that I'm an adult and I've had a conversation with my biological father, now I understand, because my biological father told me what his biological father did to him when he was a kid. It makes perfect sense now. Now, I never had that conversation, but I remember my biological mother's biological mother, which was my grandmother. Now, I love my grandmother. Don't get it twisted. My grandmother was out. She was a great woman. However, as my sisters would tell you, my grandmother was, as I would say, a little cray-cray. Now, my grandmother had a lot of great attributes, don't get it wrong, but I remember my sisters, they couldn't really do nothing. Remember, there was old Pentecostal stuff that we grew up in, that sanctified church. If they showed their neck, they got beat. My grandmother was old school. Calling a boy? What? Try to pick up a phone and call another boy when you were a little kid in my grandmother's house. So I understood, okay, that's why my mom ran away from home. Well, not ran away, but got pregnant. So my mother's story, it makes sense now because I understand the genetic code and the environment that she was raised in. That was transferred to my sisters. It was transferred to me. It was transferred to my brothers. So we have a genetic makeup for my biological mother and my biological father. And then my biological father remarried. And so I got an influence from my stepmother. And then I got an influence from my friends. Then I got an influence. I grew up in a little country town. My mother died. Then I moved to a little bigger city. So I got influence there. What am I saying? I'm simply saying that right now, what I am able to see is the result of my heredity. Now, inheritance of traits is called an allele, A-L-L-E-L-E-S. It produces something called a phenotype, spelled P-H-E-N-O-T-Y-P-E-S. Now, I'm giving you the biology so that way if you want to understand it. Right now inside of you, there is something called a dominant and something called a recessive gene. They are activated at certain times, ages. So in other words, you're just going along, just living your life, and then you turn 18, all of a sudden, bam, a dominant or a recessive gene is activated. All of a sudden, your behavior changes. You don't know why. Now, I've been studying genetic traits for a long time. And I've been studying inherited versus genetics. There was a great book that really changed my understanding called The Biology of Belief by Dr. Bruce Lipton that talks about how sound can change genes. Now, before then, if you inherited the gene for cancer, nothing nobody could do for you. Because the old school, and some people still believe this, that if you was born with a genetic trait for cancer, it's just a matter of time. There's a lot of women, and I remember reading this story, who, and I think if I remember, Angelina Jolie was one of them, because her mother and her mother and her mother and her mother, they all had breast cancer, she just cut her chi-chis off when she was like, in her early 20s, no sign of breast cancer nowhere. But because there was a gene in her family that says everybody in that family has breast cancer, so some women, they just cut them off before they even get breast cancer. Now, some people say that's great. I say that dog don't hunt. Why? That's fear-based. So I'm rewriting the code that was handed to me by my biological father. Now, I had this uncle. His name was Roy Lee, Uncle Roy Lee. He was my father's brother. Now, Uncle Roy Lee was like me in that this dude never had no job, as far as I know. And I remember they told me one time that he was the mayor of some city. I was like, what? This dude, he was barely functional. I mean, last time I saw him, he had a bottle in his hand, like all my uncles. I had another uncle named Johnny B, same thing. Every time I saw him, he had a brown bag in his hand. Now, I rewrote the code. Now, my sons, that's another study for another time. Both of them dudes can drink. Me, I don't drink. So why come I'm not a functional alcoholic like my father, like all my uncles, like everybody that I know, at least all the males in my family on my father's side, all of them are functional alcoholics. Why am I not an alcoholic? Because I rewrote the code. So I didn't just go and just give up and say, well, I might as well go and buy me a bottle of Jack Daniels since, you know. So what am I saying? Demystifying wealth. You, brother and sister, now we grew up in a house with no running water, no electricity. We had candles. I remember we had a kerosene lamp. Now, I don't know. I don't remember when I was a kid. Like, from six and under. So I'm sure that that was a reason why we didn't have electricity, or we used to go to this place called Dozier's and pack water. So I'm sure that that was a reason why we didn't have running water, because everybody else's house I went to, my grandmother, they had running water at her house. But at our house, we didn't have running water. Now, I think back to those times, and I think back, and I'm like, man, what? How come we were poor? I'm sure that that's a reason, but my mother's not around for me to ask that reason, as is most of my parents or most of my relatives that were older. So there was some type of generational poverty passed down. But my sisters, I got two sisters really, you know, well, actually more than that. But my two sisters that I'm really close to, now they both rewrote the code because they're both very successful economically and spiritually in all other areas. So why come my sisters are not destitute? And I use the word destitute because my mom wasn't really destitute. She just did not monetize. Now remember, my mother could play music by ear. My mother could sew by sight. You just show her a picture, she could make it for you. My mother could cook all types of, everybody, we go home, everybody talks about how great my mother was. Now, in my brain, I don't have that image. Now, I'm not saying that my mother wasn't great. I just didn't understand why this lady used to beat us and she didn't do nothing. And so I need to understand, brothers and sisters, that it's not that my mother was not wealthy. It's just that she did not monetize her wealth. Now, again, that's a child's interpretation. For all I know, my mother could have been wealthy, and I just didn't know. What am I saying? When my mother played the piano, she should have got paid. When my mother sold suits, now I know she did get paid. I remember we used to go up to my grandmother's house, and this Caucasian guy who basically owned half the town, his name was Mr. McCann. He would bring ducks over there, and my grandmother would just like, oh, yeah, whatever he say, you do. And then I was like, why? We would pick ducks and we ain't get nothing. She would give her a duck. I'm like, where's the money at? Boy, you don't talk back to white folks. Now, again, that's old school. My grandmother was old school. But what am I saying? I'm saying if I'm going to pick your duck, you're going to pay me. So I learned. So what am I saying? I broke that code. I broke that genetic transferred gene. Now, when I was young, dumb, and stupid, the first business I started, I basically did the same thing. I gave away my product, my service, and information for free. Now, y'all know I just recently started about 5 years ago charging for my services. Why come I didn't start it? Now, remember, I'm an old dude. Let me rephrase that. I'm a lot older than most of you listening to this show. I was talking to Brother Rome yesterday, and I was like, damn, homie, I got shoes your age just about. Why, Brother Rome has been with me for a while, but he a young cat. Brother Dana is a young cat. I'm knocking on 60, man. And I'm just now breaking the code, demystifying wealth. So number six is very, very important, because what you see is what you used to be mentally. I'm not saying that's what you did physically. I'm just saying you think a certain way. There's a pattern to your thinking. I had a poverty mentality. Why? I wanted something for nothing. That's poverty. I wanted to use words to try to manipulate people instead of using words to empower people. That's poverty. See, poverty thinking is I want something for nothing. Poverty says I want to take, I want to take, take, take. Poverty says that you owe me something. Poverty says that you got an entitlement spirit. Negro, you ain't entitled to nothing except go get a freaking job. Now, I'm talking about me, not you. But poverty? Some people inherit a disposition that says, you owe me. They little kids, they carry themselves with this air. Why? Genetic. Now, if they don't rewrite that program, how do you rewrite that program? Hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. That's why I say words to me are the most powerful thing on the planet. People ask me all the time, now I could choose a lot of different occupations because I've already had 68. I could start 69 tomorrow. I could continue again, but I figured out and I pimped the game that the pen is mightier than the sword. So to demystify wealth, you have to do something very specific. You got to program yourself. Now, some people call this self-talk, faith talk. They got whole. Now, I'm not talking about the self-help industry. I'm not talking about neuro-linguistical programming. Please don't do that. You can, but when you're listening to somebody else's recording, you don't know if they have any type of a subliminal message in that recording. People go out and they buy, or they go to YouTube and they listen to the soundtracks. Now remember, as I said earlier today, and I posted on my Facebook page, and I pray to God, the big one, not the little one, that you understand what I'm about to say. You are born with a genetic code. It's in your DNA. It's called a codex or a codon. Everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice, you have inherited chromosomes. They intersect with your genes and your culture. Now, it either distorts it impairs your will. You are born with a will, with an intention. Some people are born, as much as I hate to say this, but after all of my years of working in law enforcement and the criminal justice system, some people are just, as I say, and as I know, and as I've already written about inside of my book, 600 pages, The Ontological History of Mankind, that talks about some people are OPs. They are organic portals. Now, I didn't make them this way. The Bible says it this way as well. The Bible talks about some of you are like your father, the devil. He was a liar from the beginning. Some people don't have souls. The Bible says that there are some vessels of honor, some vessels of dishonor. Now, that's what your Bible say that you say you believe in. You know, Pharaoh, it says, for this cause was he born. Now, it would suck to be Pharaoh. That means Pharaoh was genetically programmed to tell Moses no, no matter what Pharaoh wanted to do. He was programmed. Every time Moses came, no. Pharaoh could have said, you know what, maybe I should let these suckers go. But then there was a thought came into his head. Now, it's a switch that's turned on, and it's done through words. Because remember, Pharaoh let the people go. And Pharaoh's wife said, y'all remember in the movie, he goes, is there laughter I hear in the desert? Remember Eve? She was programmed by God to love Adam and to walk in the cool of the day and hang out with God. And then a serpent whispered in Eve's ear and said, did God really say? Brothers and sisters, you are programmed for success, for wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship. Somebody whispered in your ear and said, are you really programmed for wealth? And doubt came in and it switched your code off. You was born with your code on, but a sound, a frequency, a wave, a vibration, a picture, a song, a movie, something turned your code off. So you are genetically programmed by your father. The God that I said don't make junk, homie. He don't make it. There is no error. There is no such thing as poverty. There is no such thing as lack. There is no such thing as fear. All of this stuff is the absence of a thing. It's not a thing. Poverty is not a thing. Poverty is the absence of a thing. Darkness is not a thing. Darkness is the absence of a thing. Evil is not a thing. It is the absence of a thing. For evil to exist, good men must do nothing. For darkness to exist, the light must not exist. Darkness is the absence of light. Evil is the absence of good. The dark side is not a thing. The dark side is the absence of a thing. There's only good. Unless good is removed, absence exists or evil exists. Poverty is the result of a lack of consciousness or the inability to see wealth. So you must understand you're programmed to see what you see. Now, I see error. I am programmed by God to see error. Now, you should ask me, well, Brother Will, like what era, like what are you talking about? I'm talking about esoteric, which is what the word spiritual means. I have a genetic Gene. Everybody in my family sings or preaches. I'm the only one that can't sing. Now, I can preach a little bit or play an instrument. So I come from, I have the DNA blueprint. So the world is a double helix DNA. RNA is the proteins that copy the DNA. And so the inheritance of behavior and genes is the scientific proof of the genes or the genetic code that's inside the book of genes that you call the book of Genesis. Now, I've written an entire book on this topic. This book is called Genie in the Genes, which I know all of y'all brought. Or everybody that's part of the life optimization team, the life management, you already got. And I know you read it. But did you really read it? Probably not. So inside of that book, Genie in the Genes, I biologically and biblically and non-biblically prove everything that I'm saying today. So to demystify wealth, you must understand that people say you are free to make choices. That is not true. Your genes determine your choices. Your genes determine your behavior. Now, this is neurogenetically proven already by, again, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Dr. Roy Raymond Rife, Dr. Goldman, myself, and a plethora of other people. All genetic studies reveal that the DNA is coded. It's a code. Now, how do I know this? Look at the internet. Now, Saturday, I'm going to break down how to monetize the internet. And I'm going to start off Saturday's discussion with what is the internet? The internet is the human body reverse engineered. In other words, the ideal for the electronic internet came from the biological internet. So if you don't understand the biological internet, you don't understand the electronic internet. And you don't understand why, if you're listening to the sound of my voice and you're not on the electronic internet, I don't know what I or anybody else on earth can do for you. So I need to go back to first base, because there are members who hang out with me that I talk to that they are not on the electronic internet. That means they don't understand the biological internet, because the biological internet, every cell in your body communicates with each other. Now, how many cells inside the human body? I'm not just talking about blood cells. Do you know that every organ is just made up of cells? You're just a plethora. They can't even number. There's not a number for the number of cells inside of your body. They all communicate. So if you could understand that statement, every cell in your body, cellular communication, that means if you do not eat on a cellular level, some of your cells are dysfunctional. They are starving. It's called dis-ease. Now, if you don't breathe on a cellular level, some of your cells can't breathe. They're suffocating. So everything that you do must be done on a cellular level. You should not eat for your tongue. You should eat for your cells. So if you have not been taught cellular nutrition, if you have not been taught the same way when you work or what you do, if what I do is not done on a cellular level, then I will not be wealthy. Now, I'm just scratching the surface of my wealth. As I told you guys, a year from now, I'll be a millionaire. Why? Because my cells are starting to communicate with each other electronically. That means I'm connecting globally with the globe that I am on. So right now I got clients in Sweden, I got clients in New Zealand, I got clients in Nigeria, and I got clients in Philadelphia, I got clients in Chicago, New Jersey, New York, I got clients all over the place. But I ain't got no clients in San Diego, I ain't got no clients in Seattle, Washington, I ain't got no clients. See, all of these other cities, I got to communicate with them. So if I just get one client, now remember, all I need is to become a millionaire, all I need is 200 people. 200, that's it. Now, out of 6-point-something billion people, you think I got a problem with getting 200 of that 6.5 billion? Not a problem, bro. I can only grow according to what I can handle. So right now, I limit my growth. I was talking to my wife, so until I can get somebody, so if you know somebody that is a computer programmer that can write code, that's my next level. Why? I need to punch your name and your information into a computer code, hit enter, and print out my Dear Canary report. Right now, I'm doing it manually. Now, Ford had the same problem, and he came up with the Model T, and he did what is called as the industrial age. Now, Sam Walton had the same problem, and he developed Walmart. He came up with a chain. Now, McDonald's had the same problem, and then they came up with franchising. So, again, problems are a result of scale. So what you see may be only beneficial to one person in the state of Texas. So let's say, as I was talking to Brother Dana, now, I know Brother Dana wouldn't mind me sharing with you, so we was having a one-on-one, and I was telling Brother Dana, like, what do you see, brother? Like right now, what are you good at? Like, what is it that what are you doing right now? And he's like, well, brother, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And then two things, like, really, really stuck out. One was the brother just decided, you know what, Brother Will, man, I want to be an honest dude. Now, this doesn't surprise me because guess what? In his Dear Canary report, he has the number 9. That's like the number of honesty. That's royalty. That means the brother, he's programmed. Now, this brother, Brother Dana, I know you don't mind me sharing this, brother. This brother, when I first met him, this brother did something that was so honest. His wife or his girlfriend at the time was pregnant. And because of his honesty, it cost him his job. And so he suffered because of his honesty. He don't even know why. To this day, we laugh about it. Not really laugh, because at the time it wasn't funny. But now the brother looks back and he said, Brother Will, I don't even know why I did it, man. I said, I know why. He was genetically programmed to be honest. So he just going back to his program. So I say, Brother Dana, your product is honesty. We're gonna produce freaking products, and we're going to teach people who don't got that genetic code how to be, because why? You see how to do it. I don't see it. I'm not really an honest man. Now, my intentions is always honest, but what Brother Dana got, I don't got. I can't see the importance. Brother Dana saw and he sees the importance of being honest and having integrity, because Brother Dana is wired by God. And then Brother Dana has something called, he has 2 4s in his number. Now, the number 4 is a spiritual work. It's the worker bee number. That means if you are a 4 or an 8, you can do something that I can't do. Now, my wife is a 22, which is, again, a master builder. So that's a 4, again, with a double dose. Now, my wife works circles around me. My wife gets up every morning, like 4:30, 5 o'clock, like clockwork. Since we've been together 9 years, going on 10 years, I can count on one hand the number of days that she's missed. Now, I don't got that gene. So I don't know how to do that. I don't know how. If the alarm clock goes off, that's why I've had 68 jobs. If I don't feel like going, I ain't going. So I asked Brother Dana, like, Brother Dana, why? Why do you go to work, man? Why do you get up and go to work every day? Now, I asked my wife the same question, because Brother Dana and my wife, they both got the same gene. They are genetically programmed, and they see value in work. Me, I don't see no value in working for another man. My sisters would tell you, my brothers would tell you, Big Mama used to tell me, boy, get up and go cut that grass. I would look at Glenn, and I go back to sleep. Next thing I know, that switch was hitting my back. Get your butt up and get outside, boy. And I used to look at my grandmother like, what the hell's wrong with you? It's Saturday. I ain't no 4. I don't have, but I need somebody to teach me the value of it. Because guess what? In this world, if you don't work, you don't eat. That is wealth. So Brother Dana's walking around hustling and bustling, and he's a multimillionaire. He don't even know it. Why? He has not demystified his gift. He can't see. what he's designed to be. What's my job? To help him see. That's what he paid me. That's why I'm going to make sure I refuse to let Brother Dana fail on my watch, because the Bible says everyone that God's given me, ain't God, Jesus said, I ain't losing none of them. So everybody that's in contact with me, I ain't losing none of you, unless you just want to be lost. So demystifying wealth, number six is the ability to see that what you do see is what you are genetically designed to see. You think you see, you now people ask me all the time, Brother Will, how do you know what you know, brother? I'm a 33, man. Do you know a 33 is an 11 and a 22 and the 33 all combined? That means 11, that's master intuitive. That means I got a divine connection with God. That means stuff downloaded into my spirit. I don't even know what it means. I just know, go left. Everybody say, no, Brother Will, you should go right. No, I don't know. People tell me all the time, well, man, if you're so damn knowledgeable, why your life sucks? Used to suck. Why? 33s are designed by God to go through a bunch of bullshitness. So I got a client that was 19 when I met her. She's a 33. You know what I told her? Go out and sin and have fun, because nothing will ever happen to you. Now, if I were to tell you that, you would look at me like I'm a little crazy, right? You would be like, what are you saying, Brother Will? You know, the biggest mistake I did was trying not to do something. Because trying not to do something is actually doing it. Now, in the next two series, if y'all really want to, like, mess up your theology, so in the next series, I'm going to break down how the spirit realm works. See, the spirit realm is whatever you're neutral to, you own. In the spirit realm, whatever you put energy in, you push away. In the spirit realm, in the ether realm, in the plasma realm, whatever you take your energy out, you attract. Don't believe me? Try it in your relationships. I tell people this all the time, man. I've been doing it for 20 years. It's the craziest thing since sliced bread. People don't understand. See, wealth, brothers and sisters, it ain't got shizness to do with finding a product and the marketing stuff that we're taught on this dimension. True. Now, I'm talking about true biblical wealth. I'm not talking about this worldly shizness. You want to go out and do what Donald Trump does? Knock yourself out, brother. That dog hunts. It works. You have a lot of enemies. You got to be cutthroat. You won't be able to sleep at night. Because you got to work hard. Now, I don't work hard. I work effectively, but I don't work hard. I'm effective. Now, let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. You see, Brother Dana has something I don't. He's a four twice. He has the number four in his soul urge. He has the number four in his expression. That means he got a double helping. My wife is a master builder. That means, now, I watch my wife. She's the foundation of her church. She's the foundation of her job. She's the foundation at our house. She's the foundation. My wife go mow her auntie's grass. She just did it this weekend. We went on vacation, and my wife was buying gifts for the neighbors. What? I don't even know their names. My wife don't think like me, because we ain't the freaking same. So for me to try to dumb down my wife, which is what I used to do, I used to try to make clones. I raised my children to be little willies. The biggest mistake I made in my freaking life was not allowing my children to be themselves by shutting them down, by freaking being this freaking dominating perfectionist, do it my way, this freaking military. That is bullshitness. That's Luciferian. That shuts down people's spirits. So I apologize to my kids all the time. So that's why when I see them now, I tell my son, dude, you want to drink? Drink, homie. Drink till you pass out. Why? Ain't nothing going to happen to you, because you got a call on your life by God. So I went to demonic seances. I went to blood orgies. You know what happened to me? They told me, we can't do nothing while you here, because you are covered by the blood. We need you to leave, sir. Please. This is a freaking true story, man. I ain't read this in no book. They said somebody here with a red coat on. I didn't even know what the hell. Everybody was looking around. I'm looking around. And everybody was looking at me. Hey, like, I'm here, man, because it was free sex. I was so young, dumb, and stupid. I told y'all the story, man. I went to prison, working in a Supermax prison with 90 killers. And I was standing at the dude. I looked him in the eye, man. I looked this dude in the eye. They was getting ready to carve me up like a piece of meat. The dude told me, man, you so stupid, we're not going to even do nothing to you. The next day, Captain Baca came in and said, Raj, we transferring you to another unit, dog. Those were all Hispanics. They put me in charge of an Hispanic unit. And Hispanics, especially Mexican Mafia Hispanics, they don't like black people. I didn't know. Now, anybody else would have been dead. I walked in there and told them dudes, I run this mother. And they're like, boy, are you lost? I said, man, you better get up out of here. What am I saying? Purpose protects you. The devil can't touch you when you are in line with your purpose. Poverty, sickness, disease, illnesses, nothing can touch you, brothers and sisters, when you are in line with your purpose. The only reason poverty exists is because you can't see where you're supposed to be. The only reason poverty exists is because you can't see where you're supposed to be. The moment that you see it is the moment that you be it. You ain't got to do shiznits. You just got to maintain a mental disposition, and everything that you need for life and godliness is going to be drawn to you. That's what I do every day. Every day I get up and the devil fights me in my head. He comes again. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against wickedness, against demons and devils in high places. There's a war going on for your mind, brother. And every time I fall is because I didn't maintain the mental disposition that God has told me to maintain of wealth, health, wisdom, and a committed relationship. Every time, quote unquote, something quote unquote bad happens, it's all because of my inability to maintain my mental disposition. What you see is what you are programmed to see. So I don't recommend you do what Eve did. I don't recommend you do what Cain did. I don't recommend that you do what David did. I don't know. Remember, David saw Bathsheba. Now remember, go back again to every story in the Bible. You will find that somebody saw something, somebody said something. That led to a change in their state. It's an alter. To alter your state, somebody got to say something. Eve was doing great until the serpent said, psst, hey, did God really say? Cain was doing great until he saw that Abel brought a different sacrifice. So when you watch a movie, what happens? Alters your state. Don't believe me? Go watch a scary movie. Watch what happens to you. Changes your state. Go watch The Kings of Comedy. Go watch Eddie Murphy's first comedy thing that he came out there with them skin tight, red leather, whatever on. Or watch some of the new comedians. What happens? You laugh. Try to watch a funny movie and be scared. Try to watch a scary movie and be happy. You can't. Because you are programmed to respond to words. And so if you understand that God designed you that way, he said, I've chosen to use the foolishness of preaching to save those who are lost. It is through preaching. It is through doing what I'm doing right now that it changes your genetic code. So what if you hang out with the wrong person who's saying the wrong thing? Your wealth is poof, gone. Wealth is the ability to attach yourself to somebody who's saying the words that activate the code in your DNA. That's all wealth is. Wealth ain't got nothing to do with going out and conning somebody, manipulating somebody. You can go to Harvard, you can go to Yale, you can do all that shit, just knock yourself out. That's great, don't get me wrong. But true wealth is the result of connecting with the true God, period. True wealth is just getting in line with your purpose and understanding. If you are 33, you're supposed to teach from a level of experience. That means if you're 33, God's going to put something in your voice that when people hear you talk, it changes their DNA. Now, how do you get that thing in your voice? The same way Jesus got here. How did Jesus get here? Jesus left, and he came back, and he talked differently. They said, hey, isn't that the carpenter's son? They said, yeah, that's that fool. Then they said, why does he speak as one having authority? Because when he left, he didn't have no authority. He was a little carpenter's son. But he came back and he spoke as one having authority. Why? Jesus went and had something called life experience to go with the word of God that had inside of his brain. And so when he spit gnosis. That's the only thing that you got to do, brothers. That's the only thing that you got to do, sisters. See, it's very important that you understand, because many of you are denying yourself the experience that you need to have to go with the knowledge that you got in your brain. So I didn't sign up for this, man. I was called. And I used to try to be good, man. Y'all understand. My brother Glenn was like, man, he was an all-world athlete. He was in the paper every day, topping his class. And I was like, man, I want to be like my brother. Get up early, do everything right, man. Like, again, in my brain. But I'm not wired like my brother. So my job is to have a lot of experiences. And I've had a lot of experiences. Now, if I'd have known what I know now, I wouldn't have fought so hard to limit my experiences, because I'm a 33 and I can't teach theory. I can only teach theorem. So to demystify wealth, you need to know purpose. Because what if you're not a 33 and you out here trying to get a bunch of experiences because somebody told you that you're supposed to do that? When you go to that seance, guess what happened to you? Peter, we know. Paul, we know. This fool ain't got his red jacket on. He ain't covered by the blood of the Lamb. Them demons gonna walk through you like hot butter. And you don't understand why you're getting your aspiritus whooped every day. Because you're not covered by the blood of the Lamb. You're not in your anointing. You're not in your power. You're not covered. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. The word righteous means right standing. So if something is happening in your life, that means you're not standing in the right place. Or you're taking it as an insult when you're supposed to be taking it the way the Bible says. Count it all joy when you fall, knowing that the testing of your faith worketh patience. God is testing your faith to work in patience. So therefore, when you wake up, bad shit is happening. Oh, man, God is testing my faith. So guess what? The same thing Job did is what I'm going to do. Your wife or your boyfriend gonna come to you and say, man, you might as well curse God and die. Remember Job? Job had boils from the top. The only way he had no boils, that was on the bottom of his feet. Job lost his children. He lost his money. He lost everything. His wife told him, you might as well curse God and die. Job said, not me. Naked I came, naked I leave. God shall I live, God shall I die. God gave Job everything, because why? Job understood one thing that I hope you understand today. Ain't nothing happening to you in your life that God has not allowed to happen. And when the test is over, you will be rewarded. So count it all joy. Shout now. Don't wait till the battle is over. Shout now. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So when I approach something, I approach it with confidence. Now, I'm not saying that you go and volunteer for no shiznits, but what I'm saying, when shiznits happen in my life, guess what happens? I get more confident. Now, again, I don't recommend you do what I do, because everybody that know me, they think I'm a little touched in the head, because I rejoice in adversity. I don't wait till the battle is over. I shout now. Because, see, I'm very confident because, see, I know. I don't believe. I know. I don't have a belief in God. I have a knowing of God. So I know when I'm in the valley, God is there with me. When Daniel was in the lion's den, was he crying? Was he curled up in the corner? Was he concerned that the lion might bite him in the throat? I don't think so. Most pictures I see, they show Daniel glazing up in heaven. Or I picture Daniel laying down on top of one of the lions and using the lion as a pillow. That's the image I have of Daniel. Them three Hebrew boys that was thrown in the fiery furnace, they went before the king, and the king said, y'all need to eat this, you need to do this. And them boys said, nah, homie, we're not doing this, because it goes against what our God said. I need you to understand, because see, a lot of y'all know right from wrong, but you're doing it anyway, Brother Will. That means, brothers and sisters, when you get thrown in the fiery furnace, woof, you gone. But them three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown in the three Hebrew, the fire. Now, I know this is a little preachy, but I need you to understand. And they said that there was a fourth one in there with them. That's wealth. See, wealth is when you in the valley, there's always a ram in the bush. Brothers and sisters, I'm trying not to over-exaggerate because, again, that's one of the issues of demystifying wealth, especially for people like me. But as God is my witness, when I fail, I win. I get real excited when stuff goes bad in my life because I know God is about to show out. Now, I get more excited when stuff goes good in my life because I know God is about to show out. I know God is going to show up and show out. Now, when I say God, I mean good old-fashioned discipline. When I say God, I mean God-ordained destiny. I'm not talking about no gray-haired, white, blue-eyed, mystical dude sitting on no chair in the sky. That's not the God I serve. I hate to disappoint you. See, the God I serve, he has granted me old-fashioned discipline. I call it bulldog tenacity. Nobody on earth can outwork me. Y'all want to try? Who want to take me up on an offer? I'm taking all comers. Nobody can outwork me, bro, in my purpose. Anybody want to try me? I've had a lot of comers. They all went down in flames. Nobody can outwork me, man, when it comes to my purpose. So that means when you find your purpose, you're going to be like me. Everything else is a freaking inconvenience. Now you understand you're on this earth and you got to do certain things to exist on this earth. Okay, I got to bathe. Oh, man. Okay, yeah. Man, I just got to bathe. My wife said, baby, I don't like you. I don't like funky dudes. So, you know, hey, I got to bathe. Then I got to eat. My body says, hey, we got to eat. So, okay. Ooh. Okay, let's get it over with. We got to eat. So there's certain things I got to do. But again, I would rather be doing purpose, brothers. I would be doing purpose, sisters. And the last thing I want to leave you with is this. And we're going to break this down further tomorrow when we break down number 7. Brothers and sisters, the biggest mistake I made, because I'm a 33, so the devil used my gift against me. So, Brother Dana, you're a 4, homie, basically. So, the devil, because you got 2 4s in your number, which basically, and you got a number 8. So, all those numbers are divisible by 2. That's why the devil's using your peaceful, but remember what is 2? 2 is basically a peaceful phlegmatic, peacemaker. And I was telling Brother Dana yesterday, and I know he don't mind me sharing this. Dog, you got to get some cojones. Me and Brother Dana got the same problem. We love everybody. We don't want to say no. So Brother Dana told me something yesterday that wasn't true. And it bothered him, and he texted me this morning and said, Brother Will, that wasn't true. This dude is a 9. Why the hell are you worried about what I think? That's his purpose. That's his program. All you got to do is pay attention to because you're doing your program. So when I talk to you and you talking to me, we doing our one-on-ones, I see your program. But it ain't going to do me no good to see it. You got to see it. So Brother Dana was so honest. He said, man, you asked me a question yesterday, and I said something because I just wanted approval. Or I just said it because, I don't know, I just said it. So Brother Dana has to see that, okay, the devil's going to take his number, whatever number that is divisible by the 4 numbers in your name, devil's going to use that number against you. Mine is a 3. What has I been doing all my life, man? What's the number one thing I've been doing all my life that's destroying my life? My black ass can't do one thing and finish it. I'm always jumping around creating stuff, man, because all of my numbers are divisible by 3. So, Dr. Span, are you listening to me? You're very creative. That's great. And the devil is using that creativity to destroy you, to keep you from doing your purpose, which is the 633. Sure, it's great to be very creative. And it's great to care about people and help people. But if you can't say no to your own brain when an idea comes in your head to say, hey, lady, let's go help so-and-so. And because that's going to keep me from doing number 1. What is number 1? Who's standing next to you, bro? Who's standing next to you? The number one thing you're supposed to be doing is taking care of God, taking care of self, taking care of wife or husband, taking care of children, your own household. What have I been doing? I've been out saving the world and ignoring my wife. Don't even talk to my own kids. Oh, yeah, but I'm doing the work of the God, brother. God has called me to the masses. Now, your first ministry is at your house. Your house is in your head. Your first ministry is your freaking mental state. What is your mind, man? Your mind is all over the place. You're up and down, but you want to go out and minister? Oh, you want to help somebody? I don't care how much I love my wife and want to help my wife. If my brain is not on the same freaking page, I am no good to myself, to God, or my wife, or my children. Because I love her today, and I don't like her tomorrow. Why? Because my thoughts are whack. Because I have not managed my own freaking house. Clarinomics is the household management of your freaking soul. Your own mind, your own will, your own imagination, your own intellect. If you can't manage yourself, how the hell are you going to manage anybody else? How are you going to help anybody, Brother Will? See, I was out managing, oh, I was just trying to establish this global reach, this global internet. And God is saying, you might want to globally establish, because your mind and your will and your emotions, them suckers is all over the place. Your mind is saying one thing, your will is saying another, your emotions ain't even showed up. But you want to go and establish a global ministry? I ain't putting that spirit out on the globe. So no matter how much I try to be wealthy, Brother Jasper, nothing worked, homie, because my brain, my will, my imagination, and my intellect, they was not one accord. So the God of the universe ain't going to allow you to put confusion out in the universe. Because if you put confusion out, you get confusion back. So if anybody is having problems, you have to demystify yourself first. You got to identify, you got to remove any emotional pathogens and parasites using prayer, obedience to the word of God, empathy, and relationships. That's the acronym inside of my book, Spiritual Power. P, prayer. O, obedience. W, the word. E, empathy. R, relationships. Brothers and sisters, wealth is the result of the household management of the soul. Wealth is the result of you under open understanding. Okay, I can see something. Okay, why is it that I can see this? Nobody else can see this but me. So, okay, there's a reason why God wants me to see this. Okay, God, what do you want me to see? Well, I'm showing it to you. You can see, Brother Bandit can see that the young men, especially African-American men, they don't have work ethic. For whatever reason, Brother Dana can see that. I can see it, but I can't do what Brother Dana can do. Brother Dana can not only see that men don't work like him. Now, Brother Dana, every time I see that dude, at least I got to give the brother mad respect. The dude worked jobs that I probably wouldn't even work. And he shows up early and stays late. And they treat him like trash on them jobs. He still stays. 68 times I've left. Brother Dana's still there. Brother Dana got something I don't got. It's called work ethic. My wife got that same thing. So Brother Dana is doing what he sees. He knows that if he's faithful over little, God would trust him with much. So now Brother Dana got to do number three. Brother Dana got to see, okay, he got to see the principle. In other words, the process of what he's doing. He's just doing it automatically, but he can't teach it until he defines it. Till he understands it, till he sees it. Once Brother Dana can understand it, then he can automate it. He can put it into a product. He can put it into a service. He can put it into an information. He can do a step by step by step by step process that when he goes to work and he feel like don't go on, something in his brain says stay because he got bills. He got wife. He got certain things that he wants to do. So he stays. Me, I quit. So, Brother Dana, if he can put down on paper exactly what he does, the pattern that allows him to do what he sees, Then that takes him to number four. He sees worth and value in doing that pattern, which takes him to number five. He can express it authentically. He can tell people the truth. He don't lie to people. That's why he texted me this morning and said, Brother Will, yeah, what I said wasn't 100% true because he's a nine. So he sees that pattern of not telling the truth doesn't work because I did that pattern before and it didn't work. So Brother Dana knows that. So he sees the pattern. He sees the value in being authentic. So now Brother Dana has to do number six. He got to realize that he's programmed by God. So therefore, when he sees that, he's going to have number seven. He's going to have dunamis power. When he talk about the why you need work ethic to the little 13-year-old, I'm going to send his tape and my book to my son who's doing the same business I'm doing. My son is on job number 13. If my son doesn't hook up with somebody like Brother Dana or hook up with somebody like my wife who can teach him the freaking value of coming to work early, staying late, and being honest, having some integrity, and show him step by step how to do it, because I can't do it because I ain't got it. I can't teach what I don't got. So I just got to sit and watch my son go through the same shizness and make the same mistakes I make unless Brother Dana steps up and do what God has called him to do. That's what the Bible says when it says all of creation is groaning and is moaning because it's waiting for the sons of God to freaking show up. All of creation is waiting on you, Brother Dana. All of creation is waiting on you, Brother Jasper. All of creation is waiting on you, Brother Rome. The freaking world is waiting on us to get our shizness together. And we freaking watching TV. Come on, man. We got to do better, Brother Will. I got to get my shizness together. Because my wife is waiting on me. I don't want my wife working. If she going to work, she going to work for me. I don't want her working for no other man because that's my wife. I want to take my wife shopping. I want to buy her fancy jewelry. I want to take care of my children. I want to leave an inheritance for my children's children. But if I don't demystify wealth and see worth and value in myself and have confidence and boldness to speak to that mountain, if I don't do and be what God has programmed me to be and do, the universe is going to suffer because can't nobody be me but me. Contrary to popular belief, you can't be replaced. There's only one Brother Dana. There's only one Brother Jasper. There's only one Brother Roman. There's only one Dr. Spann. There's only one Sister Ellen. There's only one. Can't nobody replace you. You are irreplaceable. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image and in the likeness of God. Sister Rhonda, can't nobody be you but you. Sister Stacy, there's only one Stacy. Ain't no other Stacy on the world. You got to freaking get yourself up. You got to look yourself in the mirror, and you got to express, expose, and expand your God-given giftedness. That's how you demystify wealth. By being and doing what God, not what the world, right now, you're expressing the program of your parents. You're expressing the program of your environment. But there's another program. It's hidden down in your DNA. And I'm going to find that program. If you hang out with me, I refuse to let you fail. If you hang out with me, we're going to find that program. And we're going to override that negative habit pattern with a new life-sustaining pattern based upon your God-given genetic code that's found inside of your freaking DNA. Guaranteed. Why? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. All who rise up against me shall fall. Brothers and sisters, it is time for us because we are, again, royal priests. We're holy nations. We are made in the image and likeness of our Father. And it's time for us to do exactly what's inside the movie Dark Tower. You got shine, brother. You got shine, sister. Let your light shine. Shine, shine, shine. It is time to shine. That's how we demystify wealth. Tomorrow we knock down the last secret, number seven, as we prepare for the program this Saturday. This is way more than just the internet. Saturday's program, I need everybody that's listening to me, cost is $49. Go to the website, make that $49 payment. Because my wife is going to break down the power of saying no. and help people like myself out, I'm going to break down what the internet is, the spiritual internet, the electronic internet, and the biological internet, and why you must be on it. You must, because the internet has something called a domain name. That domain, that's your domain. That is your intellectual property. That is your spiritual property. If you don't claim it, somebody else will. You must, it's not optional, you must be on the internet. You must take ownership of your spiritual and your intellectual and your physical property. It is yours. It was given to you by God. We must break down the power of the internet because we don't know what it is. Otherwise, you would be like me. I used to have 16 sites. Once I understood the power of the internet, then the God say, hey, that's not yours, homie. I was trying to take y'all's. Since y'all didn't want it, I was trying to take it. Now, I'm just letting go. I go to Google, this is proof. The website, I got a little upset, but God said, let it go. I have wakeupblackamerica.com. Go to Google and type in wakeupblackamerica.com and hit enter. That site is on sale. Somebody's selling that same thing for, I think, like $3,000 right now. Now, what was the value in it when I got it? Nothing. It had no value. Why is it worth $3,000? Now, actually, it's worth a little bit more than that. But why are they selling it? It's just the name, right? And how much money Nike would pay for their name? How much money Coca-Cola, CBS? What's your name? Y'all heard the story about the fly jock Tom Joyner? Do you know how much money Tom Joyner had to pay? He had to go to court to get his own name. How much money is your name worth? How much are you worth? You don't even know. We got to demystify it and break it down for you. Saturday, 12 noon, join me and my wife and we break it down. Brothers and sisters, I love you, appreciate you. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May the Son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, the set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth because it will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will, make no doubt about it, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now. But no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. That's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn or something to pop. You still dreaming, pass the message if you run in the pot. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You go with us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. A 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Delusions, dreams, just still dreaming, man. Still dreaming.